The reason why we're sitting here today, the reason why we have a building like this to come and worship as a church is because of Joy and Bill Bocknight. The day that Joy got hired at Chick-fil-A was the same day that me and Alyssa ran up on this building and said, a little building on Kennerly Road right in smack in the middle of Irmo. I wonder if this is the place God has for us. And little did we know at the time the reason that God had brought Joy to Chick-fil-A, well, one of the reasons, many reasons I'm sure, but one of them, the most paramount for us, was the fact that it was her husband who was in charge of selling this building for the Masonic Lodge that used to be here. And it's just a beautiful story. It's God's miraculous hand of how he paved the way each and every step for us to be able to get this building at a fraction of the cost, owner-financed and no interest. A group of about 20 of us or so, 20-year-olds. We didn't know what we were doing. We're just a bunch of kids. But God saw fit that this is where he wanted us. And so he put in place people like Angie, Joy, her sister, and Bill, and Joy's husband. And it's a lot of the credit goes to them for the reason why we have this place. So I want you to give a big welcome to Joy Bach. Now, you've probably seen her at Chick-fil-A. She probably wipes your dirty table once you and your kids have gotten out the door. But she is a true inspiration. She fits her name to a T. God, there's a reason why her name is Joy, and I want you to hear from her. So, Joy, if you'll come up at this time. One of my favorite people in the whole wide world is Joy Bocknight. So I'm excited to learn and listen from you. Thank you.
Ooh, that light is bright. Can we turn the light on them right there? Can we turn it on them instead of me? Oh, my. Well, you know, grab your life. Time management. We'll get to that in a minute. God has an amazing way of surprising us, doesn't he? Of leading us where we are. That light really is bothering me. When Jim asked me to talk about time management, I've never really thought about the fact that maybe I'm pretty good at it. I guess I am. But I know that the events of my life have led me to learn so many things and seeing God's hand in all of that. I'm a missionary kid. I'm a preacher's kid. We lived in India for my first years. Angie and I fought a lot. I got lots of whippings. We're called third culture kids, and we kind of carry with us that mantra. Some of Virginia knows about that. We carry with us those personality traits that we learned because we had to. I did go to a boarding school a lot, and it's not like regular school. You're told when to brush your teeth, when to wipe your shoes, when to everything. So time, you did time management, but you didn't call it that. You just did what you were told. Or I did. I don't know about Angie, but I'm a rules follower, so I did what I was told to do. Now, Mother was an excellent organizer, and so she told us, like, before we went to boarding school, she'd say, now, Joy, you can wash these things out here. You don't want to send them to the laundry because they might tear them up. And she told me all these little things to do with all my little things. We could only have one hairbrush, 3 socks, 4 dresses, you know, yada, 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 2 towels, that kind of thing. So you had to take care of what you had. And Mother, to the end, was an excellent organizer. And so I kind of chose to imitate that area of her life, and more, you'll see how that carries through in my life. Now, Daddy, on the other hand, he's sort of way on this end of the organization thing. He's having to learn some of that since Mother has passed, but he's doing pretty well. But what I learned from Daddy is to have fun. Mother had to have surgery one time, and so she was in the hospital, and we got to stay. This was when we were in India. We stayed in a little, we called it a hostel, and Daddy let us turn the beds upside down, sleep on the floor, and hang from the posts on the bed and all this kind of thing. I just thought that was marvelous. But I remember thinking, oh, Mother would not like this. But Daddy taught me how to, you know, to have fun and still do what I'm supposed to do. Came back to the States, went to college, got a degree. I'm married. And, you know, when you get married, you learn to pray a little more. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. I learned to I really saw where God needed to be in my life more. You know, there's only a certain point that you can ride your parents' spiritual coattail. And at that point, I remember thinking, I've got to do some of this stuff myself, and I knew that I had to have a relationship with God for myself. My marriage was not a good one, and it did end in divorce. It was very traumatic for me because I was always told that you just work it out. But I learned that there are people, and I learned so much about myself and my part in that whole scheme of things. Some things I did wrong, some things I did right. And God just slowly showed me some things to clean me out, to make me more aware, to communicate better, to be more watchful of other people. I did have 3 children from that marriage, 3 beautiful girls, and you don't have time to hear all about them, but they were just wonderful and just so good. They were such a blessing, and I loved being their mother. My oldest daughter was killed in a car accident at the age of 20, and that was a time when I really learned about God, because I'm a pretty high-energy person, as those of you who know me know, but that stopped me dead in my tracks. And I was literally often just laying down. Napping is okay, and I did a lot of that. Did a lot of crying, but I learned so much about God just carrying me. Friends, rest, those kind of things. Then my children started leaving home. And then I prayed even more. Parents, you know that's right. And it's not that you're bad or you're good or anything. It's just that we're used to taking care of everything and knowing where you are and all of that. And all of a sudden, that's not happening. And because of the divorce, my children, you know, were gone a little bit more than at a younger age. And I realized that, you know what, I had no control over any of that. But God showed me over and over again by little things that kept happening. And I haven't chronicled them or written them down, but they come to my mind so often, little things that would happen, and I'd think, oh my, that I would know something. And there's no other way that it could have been except that God showed it to me. I call that divine intervention, and I know that He was watching after me, helping me to understand, helping me to let go and put them in God's time. Now, I did meet Bill a little bit before Brandy died. Truly a blessing in my life, but I still pray a lot. I'm sure he does too. But early in our marriage, I went to a prayer conference, a conference on prayer. I don't even remember what they called it. And that totally changed my life. I was already a Christian. And, you know, none of this makes sense if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, taking that initial step recognizing that who God is, recognizing that I am a sinner, to confess those sins and say, Jesus, I believe in you, then all of this kind of makes sense. But I remember as a child hearing a story about a little lady who was pretty handicapped, and she was homebound, but she could pray, and the pastor would bring her the request from the church, and she spent, even though she was immobile, she could pray. And I can remember thinking, I could do that. even when I'm not able. And I was just a little thing, but that thought has stayed in my head for such a long time. And when we went to this conference, it was led by a lady named Becky Tirabassi. If you ever get a chance to read her book, Let Prayer Change Your Life, it is absolutely amazing. It's a she was saved in a miraculous way from drugs, alcohol, you name it, she'd done it. Just totally, just like that, changed. She wrote a book about it, has done conferences, and one of the things in there that she learned to do was she committed to praying and reading her Bible for an hour every day. Now, this gal, she said she was like a tornado. They called her like a tornado because she just, whoom, 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 whoom. Everything she did it fast and in a hurry. And she was just in everything at church, but she was busy, just busy, 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 busy. Well, when I heard that, I thought, well, I can relate to the busy part. I like being busy. I have lots of energy. I like to move around. If there's a party, I want to be there. If you're having a party, invite me, I'll come. But, you know, that remembering that story of that little lady who prayed all the time that had stayed in my head, and of course, not of course, but I had seen, as an example, our parents praying and devotion. We always had that in the evenings. I committed to doing that. Well, I think that was in the early 2000s. I can't remember. And this is 2015, right? Right? Yeah. Okay. So, I started reading and praying, and she showed us how to make a journal and write things down. I started doing it, and I've been doing it ever since. I started reading the Bible. I read through the Bible in a year, and I've done it every year since. One year, I thought, well, I need to do something different. Let me just not get in this same old of reading the Bible. And I couldn't do it. I just had to go back to reading my scriptures. And the first year I did it, I thought, whew, done with that. The next year when I did it, a few things started coming together. And even today, I'm marking things that I don't remember ever even seeing in the scriptures. So that is a good thing for me. And that time that I spend in quietness every day is what helps me to manage my time, to prioritize, and to write things down. And when I know that I need to pray for someone, then I write it down, and then I don't forget, and I keep that list. Some of you are on my prayer list. Isn't that great? And if you have one, please put me on yours. I would appreciate it. So time management for me, and Jim listed the different areas for our family. You know, I'm an old lady, so things are a little bit different from my perspective, except that I do need to make time to help my dad, who needs a little help every now and then, getting to the doctor and making sure the home front is working like it's supposed to work, because he left all that up to Mother, and she did it very, very well. So Angie and I help with that. I do have a daughter here in town with three children now, and one of those has leukemia. So sleep is almost non-existent for the family, and I get to help with keeping the children, and that is just too precious a time for me. I love this age that I can help, and the way God has led me to the place that I am, so that I have the time to do these things. And every now and then Bill and I do something together. Ain't that right, honey? Every now and then. But he's okay with that, and he can do his thing and I can do his thing, and we're blessed. Money. Our parents taught us to tithe from the time we were ever had any money. If I don't tithe, I feel so guilty. It's just terrible. So we've always tithed. It's never too late to start, I don't think. I mean, just God knows our heart. And he knows that he's going to get his part and then some from me. And I ask him to make sure to prompt me if there's a time that something happens that I don't get around to that. And I'm always worried that something will happen and I won't get that little check written or that little deal done. So I try to do it quickly so that I don't have to, when I get to the pearly gates, I say, oh, Lord, I forgot to tithe that money. I don't want to be there. my time for all of these things, my prayer time is always first. When the grandchildren are there, sometimes they get up when I get up. So I told my little Blythe, I said, I'm going to be having my Jesus time. She comes in and she just sits beside of me so quietly while I finish my Jesus time. It's just so sweet, so sweet. Bill knows I do that. I just, you know, I look forward to it. I look forward, so forward to that time. And often the night before, I think, wonder what the Lord's going to have for me in the morning. I'm reading the same old stuff. Have you ever read Job? Is that just the most boring thing? Job is just boring to start with. But, you know, this friend, they're all saying bad things about him, and I can't hardly stand to read the first part of it because all his children get killed. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. And it's kind of a boring book, but, you know, you read three chapters at a time, it goes by pretty fast. And that's what my thing says. But I'm just, so when I start the book, I say, okay, Lord, you got to show me something in here because I'm really not liking this book. Chronicles is kind of the same way. But, you know, little tidbits are in there. And I'm going to be at the section at the end where God talks. I can hardly wait to get to that part because you can always learn something from that part. When I get ready to do some things, like my Bible study, I'm just always, always amazed. And I know that it's because I work on my relationship with God, that He just lays the plan down. He just says, this. It all works out. I'm not a huge planner of long-distance things. I've already got my Bible studies planned for the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, what we're going to study. I don't know which avenue I'm going to use to study that. But you know, that isn't in me to do that. That's God using my time, and so that I can offer to Him and have that wonderful, wonderful fellowship time with the ladies at my church. I do take time for myself. I learned that late in life. I began calling myself a princess because I'm heir to the throne. God's king, right? And I'm heir to His throne, so that makes me a princess, right? I see some out here. Let me hear her say it right. How about an amen? Yeah. Guys, y'all are princes. So I need to act like a princess and have it going on. Now, my jobs, the Lord has always provided my jobs for me just in absolutely amazing ways. Chick-fil-A, I did work in a restaurant when I was going to college, but I never would have thought about working there. And my sweet little mother, who was all about love, loving everybody, was just complimenting everybody. And Mr. Arnold was standing there, and he says, yeah, we're looking for about a dozen more. And I thought, wow, part-time? And I looked at him, I said, am I too old? He said, no. And then they kept talking. I said, well, where's the thing? You know, what do you call it? Application, there you go. Filled it out, and that's the end of that story, and I'm just having the time of my life. I don't really call it a job. It's kind of fun. Some things are not too much fun, but that we have to clean up, but I get to see the people first, and it's just great. It's just great. Sundays are special. My daddy will be at church. I don't care how bad he feels. He won't tell us how bad he feels. He's going to church. He's going to church. He might not like what's being said or what's being done, but he's going to church. And I know that the times that I wasn't walking with the Lord like I wanted to, I was at church. It was just what we did. And as I was reading, one of the years that I was reading through the Bible, and I was in Deuteronomy, where God was given all the rules and regulations, you know, for the Jews as they came into the promised land. And there's a lot of information on the Sabbath. Now, we don't celebrate the same Sabbath as the Jews do, but my parents, when they were growing up, and some of us older folks here do remember a time when there were no stores open on Sunday. In fact, they closed early on Wednesday afternoon because everybody went to church on Wednesday night, midweek services. And I was in a Bible study with a lot of young moms at the time, and I thought, you know, I'm teaching them, and they're taking time out to be with you. I need to take it one step further. And the Lord impressed on me to not do any shopping on Sunday. I don't buy gas on Sunday, and I don't go to the grocery store, and I don't go shopping on Sunday. That is just something that I do. I do. I don't say anybody else has to do that unless the Lord shows you that. And, you know, actually I did this when the girls were coming along because I decided, well, it was going to be one day I didn't do laundry. Hello. You know, when you got three children at home, that's kind of hard. Wouldn't you agree? If you have one child at home, especially a baby. But I decided I wasn't going to do laundry on Sunday. Just let that be. Just not even think about it. And wait till the next day to do it. Well, that worked out so good, I started adding some more things to that list. You know, for Sunday, and one of them was taking a nap. And my girls still talk about it. Mom takes a nap on Sunday afternoon. Yep, it's coming in a couple hours. So that kind of gives me, I just feel like I'm honoring God when I do that. He wants the best for me, and I want to give him my best. Eating and exercising. I love to eat, but I like eating good things, and I do watch what I eat all the time. I just feel like God's given me a brain to use, and he's given me knowledge, and he's put knowledge in front of me. And my parents taught me that if you know to do something and you don't do it, you're sinning. Doesn't matter what it is. Exercising, I love exercising. I love running now. That's just been a great thing for me. And God helps me with all of that. He wants me to take care of my body. I'm just a little bit vain about that. But, you know, I think that it's okay. I want to grow old gracefully. So if I'm not, y'all let me know. But, you know, I want to be in the best shape that I can because he's got work for me to do. And I can't do it if I'm not in the best shape. And when I'm running, when I'm doing these exercises, I'm with folks that I can be praying for and ministering to by being who I am and by sharing God's faith with them. I'm all about all of that, and most of you here that work with me know that. But most of all, my relationship with God is number one. That is the foremost thing in my life. And you see, when I'm napping, when I'm exercising, when I'm running, some of those things I'm by myself. So that's it. That's more time that I can talk to God. And I treasure those times there. In my quiet time, that's where I hear God speak to me. And he speaks to me through his word, the plans for my day, what the priorities are. Priorities may be different on different days depending on how things are shaping up, how, you know, what I've been doing. Sometimes the priority is me. Sometimes it has to be a down day where I'm quiet and rest a little bit more and don't go out of the house maybe or something like that. Today I have to eat better because yesterday we had a large crowd at the house and we ate barbecue and sweets and chocolate and all that stuff. So I have to pay attention to that. And in reading my Bible and learning about the spiritual gifts that God has given me, we did a spiritual gifts study at our church here several years back. My spiritual gift right now, and I believe that they can change, are intercession, encouragement, and faith. Intercession is prayer. Encouragement is what I desire to do anytime I'm with someone, to show love and specialness to those who I'm around, and my faith. In the Let Prayer Change Your Life, I learned to start off with the praise of who God is. When Jim asked me to, if there were any special songs that I liked, I said, just anything about how great God is. He is so great, and I'm just a little, tiny little minuscule piece of dust. He is so great, but he loves me. And he picked me out. He formed me. Psalm 139 says, every hair on my head, every cell in my body he knew about. He knew my Brandy was going to die. That's one of the first thoughts that came to my head when I knew she was gone. God already knew this. My children, the things that are happening to them, God already knew all that before time ever started. That to me is just too amazing. The second thing that I do from in my prayer time is confession. Asking forgiveness. And you know, sometimes I'm a pretty good girl. When I sit down the next morning to do my confession, I think, well, I don't have anything to confess today. And I start writing, and when I write, oh Lord, all of a sudden he shows me something I need to confess. It's just amazing how that pen works, and it just starts coming out. There's always something that the Lord tells me about, that he prompts me about, that I need to do or that I don't need to do, or something like that. And I believe, I know that when I confess, wipe the slate clean, that opens me up to hear what he has for me. It cleans my heart out. It cleans my mind out of garbage, of things I don't need to be saying or doing or thinking, that kind of thing. But confession, until I do that confession and get it out, there's no room for anything else. So I just believe that when, you know, we take that salvation step, recognizing all of a sudden who God is. Who is God? Who is God to you today? Today he's awesome for me. He might be a redeemer, savior. What else is he? King. Already talked about that because we're all princesses and princes in here. And then after that confession time, and Jim, would you put that verse up here? When I started out doing, started writing my prayers, you know, I thought, well, aren't I going to run out of words to say? What am I going to say? Is it going to be the same thing every time? Well, there's this little place in Psalm 25. Y'all didn't know Psalm 25 was a confession psalm, did you? I didn't know it either. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. That's opening me up, for you are for the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Jim, can you skip over to verse 11, the last one? Look at that. Look at that last line. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. He wants us to ask forgiveness for his name's sake. Can you even stand it? When I saw that, I thought, wow, it's for the Lord that I'm asking forgiveness for my sin. That's how great he is. And that's how down to earth he is. He wants us to do that. Now, after I've done all that, flip back to the verse 4. Yeah. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. This right here is so often my prayer. Lord, teach me in all the things that happened today. Lead me in all the paths that you want me to go. For you are the God of my salvation. And for you I will wait all day long. I'm not real good at waiting, but sometimes I do. Now, you know, I often challenge the people in my Bible studies to look for divine appointments. And you know, if you're not, if I'm not prayed up, and if I'm not read up, I don't even see them. But when I am, I can see where God works in others' lives as well as in my life, and how he can use my experiences and the things that have happened to me, the things that I've learned, share them with someone. And I walk back away from that and think, that was a divine appointment. And you know, you have to be aware of that. Aware of God's touch on your life, because he has divine appointments right around the corner for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us, all the time. We're just not seeing them. And I want to see all of them. I want to see everything God has for me. Do I hear an amen? Yeah. I don't want to miss anything he's got for me, because it's just too good. It's just too good. Then, after I do my confession, you can just leave that up there, Jim. After my confession, I go through and request. I have some requests from my family, and the Lord shows me what I need to write down there for each one. I got a whole page for me because I need some serious help in all of the areas of my life, my health, my finances, my family time, all the things that are going on in my life where I need to serve, where I can plug in my church with my coworkers, with the people that I know, where I can share the love of God and how awesome He is and what it's like to walk in His path and work with Him as He works through each one of us. Now, family and friends, the last part of my prayer journal is a thanks journal. And you know, I have so much to be thankful for. This morning I was thankful for those 130 people that were in my yard yesterday. But it was all great. We had a great time. We had cool weather. There's so many things that God gives us that I want to be aware of, that I want to thank Him for. I want to thank Him for Jim and Melissa, who I think with others, you know, leads you all and brings you to all the wonderful things that you do. I hear about it, and it's just awesome. My church is doing some great things. Our pastor is great, and we're just moving on out of a bad time, but moving on and seeing where God is going to lead us. In my work, I never know when something's going to happen there, good, bad, or ugly. But the good way far outweighs the hard part. There are so many people to be seen, to be loved. You know, Mother was such a giver of love, of sharing. She always took that extra minute to pat someone on the hand or kiss them on the hand. Or if we went to a restaurant, she would always go back. We're headed out the door, and Mother's backing up to go tell the waitress what a good job she did, and she was everything was real good. She didn't preach to them. She didn't tell them about Jesus or any of that kind of stuff, but she lived it, and they felt appreciated, and she passed that on to Angie and I. That is my desire, to be sure to thank people for the things that they do for me and for others. But to be in that thankful, praiseworthy mode is such a great place to be. And you know, psychiatrists and therapists and all that are saying that's where you're supposed to be. And God's been telling us that all along, hasn't He? We just got to stay in. If we stay in that place, it just makes our brain work better. Makes us think happy thoughts. And then God, it opens us up to hear what God has to say. Now, okay, I'm ready for that last verse. I am a pretty high energy person. I like moving around. I like to be where the action is. At Chick-fil-A, if I hear laughing and going on, I'm going to go find out what that's all about. I love weddings, to dance and sing and share with people the happy times. My daughter had gotten married two weeks before she passed away in the car accident. And I remember now the happy time, the people that were there that got to see her for the last time before she went to meet Jesus. And we know that she's with Jesus because she wrote a poem about it about 3 years before that. And Mother, as she was passing, told us that she saw our Brandy. So we know she's there. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And that is what does ESV stand for? English Standard. The NIV says, be at rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. What I love about that verse, and I remember that often when I get in a tizzy and got lots of things to do. They're all what I want to do, but I need to slow myself down and think carefully about what I'm doing. It's be at rest, O my soul. He has, that's past tense, remembering what He has done for me over the years, how He's shown me His way, how He's led me in times of deep grief, how He's helped me financially, how He's helped me physically, emotionally, relationally, you know, all those things come to my mind. They're in the past, but those are the things that I can remember when I need to rest and let God do His thing. And He has never failed me yet. Amen. Amen. That's all I got.
Thank you, Miss Joy. Ooh, that Bible is marked up, y'all. She reads it. Yes, she does. I love seeing a marked up Bible. That's good. Well, thank you, Miss Joy. That was wonderful. I think we all can learn from what she had to say. There was so much in there that we can all draw upon that. If nothing else, what I learned is that if you want to have good time management, you better start the right way. You better start with the Lord, your time with the Lord, and everything else has a way of working itself out. So I hope that you were able to draw something from that. Next week we'll have I don't know what the topic will be next week, because it's back to me, and so I'll have to figure that out, but anyways, it'll be good. Just be here, and we'll learn more about how to grab our lives together as we move forward for the Lord. But why don't we pray, and then we'll sing one last song, and it'll be time to go. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a day that you set aside for us to come into your house, to worship you, to rest, like Miss Joy referenced. And God, I pray in these moments of you just dealing with our hearts and dealing with our lives, that we would just surrender whatever it is that's holding us back. Pray that we would surrender that to you, whether it's a family thing, whether it's a personal thing, whether it's a money thing. Whatever it is that's holding us from your absolute best for us, God, we want to give that over to you. We want to have good time management. We want to manage our time. We know that your word says we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. And this world is not getting any better, so God, I pray that you would remind us every day to redeem it, to buy it back, to make it good again. And that can happen when we start out the right way by spending time with you, God. I pray that you would remind me of that. I pray that you would remind each one of my brothers and sisters, my family here, about that. And I pray that we would, as a church, get back to that personal quiet time with you if it's not already in place. I pray that we would make that a priority. I pray that we would make that paramount in our lives as we strive to do our best with our time, with our families, with our work, with our personal life. It touches all areas of our lives. And I pray that we would never take for granted the time that you have given us. I know that not a moment goes by that's promised. Tomorrow's not promised, and the rest of the today is not promised. God, I pray that we would not take it for granted. I pray that we would be wise and useful with every moment of our time. And I pray that you would use us as a light and a difference in your world. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.